Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with Jim and Chuck. And this is a review of the latest Kingsman movie, The Kingsman, starring Ralph Fiennes, Harris Dickinson, Reese Iffens, Jermaine Hunsu, Gemma Arterton, and Matthew Good. And this is a movie that came out quietly around Christmas time. It's streaming now. I think it's on Hulu and HBO Max. It's one of those movies that HBO and Disney are sharing. And the Rotten Tomato scores are a little conflicting as far as this movie. It's sitting at 42 on the critic score with 173 reviews, and then an 80 on the audience score with 1,000 plus verified ratings. And we're gonna talk about where we side with this in a little bit, but we're gonna try something new, as we mentioned in our last episode, where we're gonna give a spoiler free review for those who haven't seen the movie, and then when you're done, you can come back and say, all right, Jim and Chuck were right on this part. Jim was wrong on this part because of my theories going forward or whatever. And we'll just go from there. So I kept it real short. And our theories probably echo, our spoiler-free reviews probably echo each other. So I wrote that if you are a fan of the franchise, you will enjoy it. If you like great action, great fight choreography, humor, and historical events told in a very loose context, then this is a film to watch. If you were to give this a spoiler-free review, how would you describe The Kingsman or your feelings on The Kingsman?
Very similar. You know, if you're a fan of the first two movies, this gives you everything that you want in a prequel. Same style, same, you know, it's a very Matthew Reeves movie. Like, you can tell, like, oh, this is him. Like, he has a very certain style to it. So if you like the other ones, you'll love this one. And I think it ties in to the originals pretty well.
Yeah, well, this is a Matthew Vaughn movie.
I say Matthew Reeves. The Batman's on my brain.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. But yeah, I do think that this one kind of ties into it, and that's where we leave into the spoiler alert. So from this moment out, 3 minutes into the podcast, we're going to talk some spoilers in terms of The Kingsman. And this is a movie that, in my mind, if I can remember, was supposed to come out a year and a half ago. COVID happened. This was one of the ones that suffered from multiple release date shuffles. Landed on a Christmas release date, which does not bode well for movies that aren't named Star Wars or in the Marvel realm, but it got that little release window. Don't think it was as successful as Matthew Vaughn and, you know, Mark Miller, because this is based off of his comic, considered it, but I like this movie. I like the cast, mainly because I'm a big fan of Ralph Fiennes. I love Gemma Arterton, Jermaine Hunsu. I mean, we talk about him in literally everything that he's in, because he's a chameleon. Yeah. I was telling Chelsea yesterday, I was like, whatever he's in, he knocks it out of the park. He gives it 100% of his abilities, and he's just normal. It's crazy. He's in a lot of ensemble, like great ensemble cast movies, and sometimes he's the best actor.
Do you remember the first time you've seen him? Because I do.
What was the first time you saw him? And then I'll tell you what the first time I saw him was.
Stargate.
Oh, Jesus. SG-1 way back, what was that, like 2001?
The original movie with Kurt Russell, he played one of the Egyptian guards.
Jesus.
Like, not very, he maybe had one speaking line. But yeah, I used to love that movie. So I know that movie in and out pretty much, and that was the first, I don't know if that was his first role, but definitely the first time I recognized him, and now he's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I recognized him in was Gladiator, one of his great roles. You know, then he went on to do Biker Boys, which might be one of my favorite movies of my childhood.
Really?
He did I love biker boys. I was all about it. I didn't even want a motorcycle. I'm still afraid of them. But my boy Timo Cruz was in it from Coach Carter. I was all about it. Lara Croft Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life, he was in. The Island, Constantine, is another kind of underrated gem for him.
Blood Diamond?
Blood Diamond is the one that got him on the map. That was the movie where you're like, we all know who Jimon Hunsu is. Never Back Down, super underrated movie. Really big fan of that movie. Push with Chris Evans, another good one. And then he just went on and just got bigger movies. Furious 7, Guardians of the Galaxy, Legend of Tarzan, King Arthur. Well, now I'm naming the bad ones. I'm sorry. Aquaman.
He was in Guardians. He was in Captain Marvel.
He was in Guardians.
Was he? Oh.
Yes. He was in the opening scene of Guardians.
Oh, yes, he was. That's right. Yeah, Korath. I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Wow. Your active geek card might get taken in this one.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
He was in everyone's favorite Shazam. He was in also everyone's favorite Charlie's Angels. How could we forget that?
He was in that.
And he was in A Quiet Place, too. So he's been in a lot of stuff. Reese Iffens, I mean, come on now. We just talked about him in our Spider-Man No Way Home review. He's fantastic. Then there was Harry Dickinson. And I've seen him. Like, I saw him in Maleficent, right? And I saw him in The Darkest Minds. And then I was like, all I really know him from the most that I can remember is his voice in The Dark Crystal.
Okay.
And he was in it for like a half a second. And then I was like, you know, I'll give him a shot. And honestly, the cast, the main cast was really good. I really, really like this cast. And the thing about Kingsman is they put together a really stellar cast.
They do.
Like this entire franchise. Like I can't remember a movie that wasn't Harry Potter where Ralph Fiennes was the lead. A very long time.
Yeah.
Can you?
Lead? No.
Right?
Yeah.
Like maybe, like not even, like Schindler's List? Like maybe? Like going way, way back? But like,
I mean, he's a great actor, but yeah, he's, I mean, he's done a lot of, what's his name? Paul Thomas Anderson stuff, right?
Like, and Chris Columbus movies.
What Chris Columbus movies has he done?
The Harry Potter movies. He was Voldemort.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking
let's not, what, like the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria? He did all those movies?
No, I'm thinking like other, I forgot Christopher Columbus. Like I knew he did Harry Potter, but I'm thinking like other Christopher Columbus movies, but.
Oh man, this bed rest is killing you. this is a rough one. But besides the main cast, I really enjoyed the ensemble cast. Seeing Daniel Brühl right after, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier this year was surprising. Matthew Good, I don't know if you're a Matthew Good fan, but I've watched every season of Discovery of Witches, and he is the only reason I watch it because my man carries it. He's so good.
I mean, I know him from
the Christopher Columbus movies.
Watchmen.
Yeah, as not Asmodeus.
No, you're right.
Yeah, see? Look, I'm there. Also, seeing Charles Dance as a good guy?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like, you got Tywin Lannister, and you got that asshole from Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
He was a villain in Underworld, too, right? And wasn't he a villain in the awful, maybe not Underworld, but he was a villain in the awful Dracula movie with
Luke Evans?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Dracula, what, Untold?
Yeah.
You know, listen, great actor, world-renowned actor. It was nice to see him as a good guy. And, like, honestly, his death, like, surprised me. Like when they blew up the tank or blew up the boat with the sub. I was like, damn, you're dead.
When they showed the quote-unquote villain of the movie and they were just showing the back of his head, did you know who that was right off the bat? Because I did.
Immediately.
Yep.
Immediately. They should have disguised his voice a little bit more. But I like that, like, if you don't recognize Matthew Good's voice,
yeah,
like, you're you're going to be like, oh my God, it was Matthew Good. Because, like, there was a moment in the film, like, I watched a good film yesterday and a bad film that we're going to review at a later date. And they kind of showed their hand a little bit when, and, you know, as the film does, it goes back in time and shows, like, this is how we set up the villain in the movie. It plays that cliche where he's like, I think we should go to Russia. And I was like, when I saw that part, I was like, well, there's your villain. It, like, that confirms that the Shepherd was Matthew Good.
Yeah.
So I have some notes. I'd like to share it with you a little bit. And we'll just kind of riff off of this. I like this one better than Golden Circle.
100%. I did not like that movie. I don't know. Maybe it was the villain.
With Pedro Pascal?
Who also, what's her name?
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore. I didn't like her in it. I like Julianne Moore, but, like, her character, like, you know, grinding up people in the meat in that little weird retro town diner or whatever the hell she, I didn't like it. Like, I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, like, I loved Kingsman, the original, and then the Golden Circle, like, really, really fell off for me. So, like, I was a little leery going into this, but this was so much, not as good as the Kingsman. But way better than the Golden Circle.
So, like, Golden Circle suffers from something that we've talked about. And if it hasn't been trademarked, it's TM now. Sequel syndrome.
Yeah.
Where they got too big for their britches. They got a bigger budget. So they said, let's make this a worldwide thing. And I think that's where they kind of went wrong. Bringing in Pedro Pascal, bringing in Channing Tatum, and forming the whole Statesman. And Julianne Moore. I thought that it didn't mesh well. Kingsman 1, The Secret Service, is an absolute gem.
Yeah.
That's a movie that, for me, is near flawless. And I know it has its moments and it's not for everybody, but that's almost the perfect movie for me. And I prefer that rumored series that's coming out. And I know that there's a rumored third Kingsman, like Secret Service Kingsman with Taron Egerton. I'd prefer it to be based on either the building of the Kingsman with this cast that we just saw in The Kingsman, and, like, how we get to Michael Caine and how we get to Colin Firth and how we get to everything, everybody, another version of Stanley Tucci, like how they keep going through that. I'd like to see that if Taron isn't involved, but if Taron's involved in anything else moving forward with Kingsman, I'd like it to stay right in England. Like, what they did best, keeping it, like, an isolated situation,
yeah,
and then moving to, like, one villain who is actually a threat, like Samuel L. Jackson and Sofia Boutella. They were great in the first one, and, like, the threat was believable. The Julianne Moore thing, like, it felt, and I hate to say this because of, you know, the podcast that we are, it felt too comic booky for me.
Yeah, it was, and like I said, like, that whole scene with her, like, grinding up meat, like, it was just a little, I'm not saying campy, but it was a little too much for my taste.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. A little bit about the ensemble cast, I want to go back a little bit. Were you surprised to see Aaron Taylor-Johnson?
I totally did.
I was like, what happened to him? Like, he was in everything. Then he fell off. Then he did that John Cena movie, The Wall. Then he was doing movies that his wife directed. Now he's Kraven the Hunter. So, it, like, I'm happy he's working, right? So he's getting his reps in. But I was like, I saw him. I was like, is that Aaron Taylor Johnson? And, like, he served the purpose. But did you see Conrad dying?
No, I was super shocked because, you know, they made him out to this hero when, you know, he went out there to get they weren't sure what it was. And they were like, this guy's bringing back important information. We need to rescue him. And he was like, I'll do it. Like, raised his hand right away and was like, I'll do it. And then it was like, okay, he's surviving. And he gets back to the bunker. And he stole this guy's identity. Yeah, and he stole this guy's identity just so he can go to war because his father pulled strings and was like, you know, he's back. So he told Alan Taylor Johnson's character, like, hey, we switched lives. You go tell my dad, I'll go fight. And the guy just was like, oh, you're a German spy, and shot him right in the head. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, and, like, what's wild about that whole situation is, like, Aaron Taylor Johnson knew as soon as he got back to London that Conrad was dead.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't there to see Conrad die, but he's like, you know, your son's dead.
Yeah. And to go back, like, it kind of plays of what Colin Firth told Eggsy was, you know, the Kingsman was made on a nobleman's son's death. And that's kind of, like, we saw that.
Yeah. So, and they, you know, they do draw more parallels to it, like with the, you know, the off Arthurian lore, for, like, straight out the jump.
Yeah.
Right? We knew that was going to happen. Also, like, the scene where Conrad grabs the body of his fellow soldier and throws him over his shoulder. Like, it gave me, like, Dunkirk meets Wonder Woman vibes, where he's just like, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, that might have been the best scene in the entire film. And, like, there were moments in the film where, like, it slogged a little bit and there was a little too much exposition. And, like, this is one of those movies where the story is, like, the definition of daddy knows best. You know what I mean? You should always listen to your parents, because Ralph Fiennes, like, he told him, he's like, listen, I did this. Like, I earned this medal. I went out there and I killed all these men, and I couldn't do it. Like, you're seeing a guy who's forming a secret assassin group with a conscience. And we haven't seen that in a while. That's, like, not to stay on Ralph Fiennes a little bit, but like, it's like if M had a conscience.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great moment for that one. I want to touch on the villains, though, because there was Rasputin, right? We're talking about Conrad dying. I thought for sure Rasputin was going to be ride or die to the end.
I thought he was the main villain, because they really played it out in the trailers. Like, Rasputin is your guy.
Yeah, I mean, we really saw all of Rasputin's scenes in the trailers. And granted, again, we got 3 years worth of trailers, but I enjoyed Rasputin because, one, he's an extremely interesting character who should have been explored more in this. And I think his character should have lasted longer in the movie, because in real life, the real life Rasputin was this eccentric, weird, like, con man who believed his own shit and just, like, did all this crazy stuff in Russia, and who was able to get... I've done a lot of research on Rasputin. I've listened to a lot of podcasts and I've read books, and, like, Rasputin is one of, like, the most interesting, like, dark arts people, and they really just made him to be, like, some weird sex-crazed soothsayer, which, I mean, isn't too far away from who he really is, but they really neglected the deeper, darker part of Rasputin. Did you enjoy, like, the scenes we had with Rasputin?
Yeah. The whole cake scene was really weird when he was, like, eating a cake, and, like, how he's, like, trying to get rid of Ralph Fiennes' injury. And I thought that was kind of, like, sexual and really weird.
Yeah, he's sucking his thigh.
Yeah, it was super weird. And then, like, they're standing outside listening to this, and they're like, what the hell's going on? But Reese Fiennes, I love him. Or Reese...
Iffens
is great. I've always thought he was a good actor. I remember seeing him in The Replacements, if you remember that, with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I remember The Replacements.
And he played the drunk soccer player turned football kicker. And, like, I've always liked him. So when I found out he was Rasputin, I was like, okay, this is awesome. But he was his scenes were great. I get it why they, like, didn't make him the main villain, because they were trying to make, you know, Matthew Good's kind of like Dr. Matthew. Call.
Yeah, they were trying to turn him into Matthew Bad.
Yeah. That was cheesy. But, yeah, like, I get it, but I expected more of Rasputin in this.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of sticks with me about the Kingsman series in general, including the comics, is I would like to see them explore the villains and, like, these other secret organizations a little bit better. Like, in the first Kingsman, it went, like, straight into, like, killing the scientist, and boom, Samuel L. Jackson. And then there's, you know, this group of rich people who are trying to buy this technology, right?
Yeah.
They all die. We know that. The second one, we got, like, Columbia Meat City. But, like, they never explored... They never explored the, like, the backlogs. Like, and that's something that, like, the series that, you know, we've been rumored about for longer than this movie's been talked about. I'd like to see them explore that. Like, spend a lot of time, like, building the Kingsman, but also spend an equal amount of time as building, like, let's call them the Queen's Women. You know, the opposite of the Kingsman, the bad guys. And don't make it the Statesman, because I don't think that worked.
No.
Who was it? Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
Channing Tatum and Pedro Pascal, right?
Yeah, and they made it very stereotypical with, like, oh, they're cowboys. Like,
yeah. There's like, no New Jersey cowboys. Well,
there is.
Yeah, Cowtown exists. But, like, there's less cowboys in America than I think a lot of people are making it out to be. Like, this isn't 1883 Yellowstone, right, where Sam Elliott's going to show up, or Kevin Costner's going to show up, or Tim McGraw, or anybody else in the Taylor Sheridan Yellowstone universe. But there's some other stuff I wrote about it, like the moral code. Were you cool with Oxford having a moral code?
I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah, I was, because, you know, in a way, you got to have a moral code when you set up something like that. Like, are you going to kill or are you not going to kill? You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do to make sure you get justice or peace? You know what I mean? Like, you need some kind of moral code. Like, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be peacemaker and just kill everybody. Or I'm going to be Batman and not have a no-kill code. You know what I mean? Like, in a way, you need a code.
Yeah, but do you think that the code was a little contradictory, right? Because,
oh, yeah,
you know, Jimon Hounsou's character killed people. Polly cutting off people's head, which, you know, really wish they would have kept that in the trailer, off the trailer, because that was a great scene. Even Conrad going out there and fighting. And then at the end of the movie, when the Shepherd is being held onto by Oxford by the tie, he lets him fall off the cliff. So, like, there's a moral code for sure, right? Like, kill one to save millions. And I completely get that. It's the complete opposite of Batman, right? Batman just takes people to prison so they break out and they go out there and they kill millions of people, hundreds of people, right? Oxford was like, all right, we killed him. I had to kill the Shepherd, but there, for every Shepherd, here we go with another corny pun, is another lamb. So another goat's going to take over. And again, none of those goats deserved any of the harm that was done to them, by the way. But I like that he was like, listen, I broke my moral code. We need to establish the Kingsman to prevent these situations. And I thought that that was smart. And I love that he, like, used the Kingsman as, like, the front and then was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy the Kingsman. And it's still going to operate as a clothier, and we're just going to have a secret room in it. And I love that. I thought that that was great. I'm actually pretty excited to talk about this. I'm going to London soon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the Kingsman clothiery. It's not called the Kingsman, but I'm going in there. And I know for Golden Circle they had an exhibit up, and it did fairly well. I don't know if they have an exhibit up for this version, but I'm definitely going to go in there, if not take a picture in the front of it. So there's a little irony and, like, I guess, like, bad timing when it comes to this movie and when we watched it, because it's about Russia and, like, yeah, invading countries, and now we have the Russia invading Ukraine. I've never seen Russia pull out so quick of a war in any movie in my life than I have in this one. And honestly, I'd love to see Russia pull out of the Ukraine war. But I just wanted to speak on the little, like, the timing of this movie. It's like, I know, you know, it came out in December and we watched it 2 months later, but, like, the timing was a little weird. Did you feel any problems with the pacing in this movie?
I mean, there was some slow spots, but majority of it, I thought it gelled pretty well.
Yeah, I think that there was a little bit of too much exposition at points. There was some like weird like scenes with Polly and Oxford. Like you were thinking something was going on with them because Polly kind of resembled Oxford's late wife, but like they never really capitalized on it. And I know this movie was, I believe it was like 2 hours and 21 minutes. So like, it definitely didn't need another half hour to explore the love between Polly and Oxford. But I thought that was kind of weird. The one thing that I really did like was the final battle. It was good. Not as good as it could have been, like what we saw in the very first Kingsman. But the quality of the choreography was really good. The way that it was shot was really good. And for two non-action stars to be in that type of sword-fighting duel on top of a mountain, I thought that was really good. What did you think of the final scene?
I thought it was great. You know, like I said before, Matthew Vaughn definitely has a style. And, you know, it definitely fits for this. And the choreography was great. And in all his movies, the choreographies are pretty good, especially the Kingsman movies. But I thought it was awesome. I thought, you know, he did a good job with kind of concluding the movie into this final scene.
Yeah, I agree. I also really like that Oxford got the Kingsman motto from the shepherd.
Yeah.
Like, there's that line where he's like, remember, Oxford, manners maketh man. And I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen, you know, 20 years later, not 20 years later, but like 100 years later, like, we know what's going to happen. And I thought that was really, really cool. But like, overall with this movie, like, I think it could have been a good Netflix movie on its own had it not been tied into the Kingsman comic movie verse. You know what I mean? Like, I would have watched this and I would have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, it did, like, even if, like, they changed the name of the shop and they, you know, they set up something for the future, but had this not come from, like, been the third movie of a trilogy already, I would have been like, this is a pretty good standalone movie. I enjoyed it, and I would have been looking forward to a potential sequel. So that brings me to my question before we get to the geek grader, and then I have some final thoughts, and then we'll talk Batman. Is there anything that you're looking for specifically in the Kingsman moving forward? Now, again, rumored series on Netflix, rumored fourth movie. How would you approach that as a Kingsman fan? Like, you don't have to go storyline or anything, but like, where do you, like, do you want Eggsy to be in the next movie? Do you want the movie to be a sequel to this? Or do you want the series to be Eggsy or a sequel to this?
Well, first off, no Statesman.
No, get that out of here.
I'd rather see an Eggsy movie and a sequel series to this.
I totally agree. I don't think Taron Egerton's been doing anything huge since, you know, I know he does like vocals, like voice acting for like Sing and everything. He hasn't been casted as a superhero yet, which, you know, I think is coming at some point. He crushed it as Elton John Rocket Man. Eddie the Eagle is a little bit of an underrated gem with him in it. But besides that, we really haven't seen him. So I'd like to see one last Kingsman movie with Taron Egerton, and I'd like the Statesman, or not Statements, I'd like the Statesman to fall into a volcano somewhere, but I would like the Kingsman series to go to Netflix, because I think this cast is kind of affordable.
Is Disney going to give him up, though? I mean, I know Mark Miller owns it, but, and then they're doing the Millerverse.
Well, Disney owned this movie.
Yeah.
I don't think Disney owns Kingsman's property anymore. Because well,
it was
everything
on
that was
Fox.
But
right?
Everything that was announced post came from after the Fox Disney merger.
Okay.
And they already said that the series would have been on Netflix. So is it possible that Disney's going to share? Yeah, because this is a shared movie between HBO and Disney. So this is one of those things that it could happen. Could this go to, listen, if Disney wants to take over Kingsman and give Taron Egerton and this cast, again, this becomes even more affordable because Disney prints its own money. I'd rather personally see it on Disney because it would be better. Netflix, a little bit of the Netflix originals have sucked lately. So will this happen? I don't know. I saw Jupiter Ascending and I thought that that was trash. But I, if anything, I want that fourth, you know, subset of Disney where they're going to be making like the Alien movies and the rated R movies. I'd like that last Kingsman movie with Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
So give me your geek grader on this one.
I'm going to give it an 8.1.
Okay. So you're a little higher than I was actually. I'm right at, I'm at 7.6.
Okay.
Really enjoyed the movie. I would have liked a little more callbacks. Yeah. And a little quicker pacing, but, and at times, again, a bit predictable. But overall, I'd watch this one again. I'd recommend it to people who haven't even seen the first movie. I say, hey, you want to see a nice little period piece movie that has some humor in it? Like when Rasputin's thrusting on Ralph Fiennes? Yeah, watch this. This will be it for you.
Yeah, you don't need to see the other two to watch this because it's a prequel.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, and but like we kind of geeked out at like the Easter egg moments, right? So like if you're a fan of it, 100% watch it. If you're new to something and looking for something to binge for free, watch it for sure. So finally with this one, I think if the Kingsman avoids bringing the Statesman in, it should go back to its roots and keep it along the lines of James Bond meets the Gentleman, where it's James Bond in the sense that it's spy-based.
Yeah.
And then it's the Gentleman in the sense of it doesn't take itself too serious.
Mm.
And I think that that would work. Like, you go back to the very first Kingsman, again, one of my favorite movies. I think it's a gem. I think that's, like, an untouchable movie. Like, I don't think, like, not, like, Gone with the Wind and shit like that, but, like, for me, that's one of my favorite movies, and I'd like it to go back to that. And maybe just maybe, since, you know, Hollywood's big at this, Chuck, Kingsman 3 is a direct sequel to Kingsman, the Secret Service.
They do it all the time now, so why not?
Right, and it... and I think they just came out with a storyline a few years ago called, like, the Red Diamond. So just do that. The comic was great. Do that. It had nothing to do with the Statesman. It had Harry. It had Eggsy. It had Merlin. Just go with that. So as we move into the wrapping up phase of this, we are a week away. Week and a day, because it comes out on Thursday, from The Batman. Not Matthew Good, but Matthew Reeves. The Batman. Currently sitting on 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Some of the reviews that I've read have said that this is the best Batman movie ever, and it's better than any Nolan movie ever. Any of the Nolan trilogy. Which, if this is true, that's high praise, because The Dark Knight is held as quite possibly the best Batman movie, if not one of the best superhero movies of all time.
Oh, definitely.
By many critics, right? And again, Dark Knight is a damn near perfect movie. Before we review it, like we're going to do next week, do you have any expectations going into this movie?
Well, I mean, obviously from the trailer, it's going to be the grittiest Batman we've ever seen. And I think it's going to be one of the most vulnerable, because he's starting out. You know what I mean? This ain't year one. It's like one and a half, year two. I think it's a different Batman that we're going to see. And I'm here for it. And, you know, we have a Rogues with, I mean, they're not, the only one I think they're really calling is the Riddler. Yeah. We have Oswald Cobblepot and we have Selina Kyle. So, yeah. I'm here for it. I hear it's a very detective-like noir movie, and I love noir movies. So I think it's going to be a different feel. I think, you know, if you're a Batman fan, you're going to love it. If you're like, oh, I love, you know, the original Twilight. Batman. Yeah. Well, not Twilight. But, like, I'm saying, like, I think it's going to be very different than any DCU movie we've ever seen.
Yeah. Now, yeah, we're going to jump the gun a little bit. But do you think this cracks a 9 on your geek grader, having not seen it now. Like, is the expectation for this movie a potential 9?
If not a low 9, like 9 even, I think it would be a high 8.
Okay, high 8, low 9. Okay. For me, I just think what we're going to get is we're going to get a rough transition between vigilantism to hero. And not in the sense of, like, rough, like, this is going to be a trek to watch. I know it's damn near 3 hours. This is, like, Return of the King level long. But I think what we're – that rough transition, I mean, is, like, you're going to see, like, the bumps and the bruises and the hiccups that, you know, a vigilante goes through to become a hero. In terms of the rogues gallery, I don't know if they're setting Selina Kyle up to actually be a rogue, because she's kind of been retconned throughout the comics as more of Bruce's confidant, his lover, and kind of an anti-hero at this point. So I'm not sure if she's going to be set up as a villain in this, more or less like they did in The Dark Knight Rises with Anne Hathaway's character. But Cobblepot being in it is great. Paul Dano being the Riddler is fantastic. Additionally, it's setting up a universe, whether this is a standalone movie. It's setting up a universe with the, you know, Gotham PD show. It's got the Cobblepot series. So I think that that's a wonderful thing. Everything that I'm seeing right now looks great. But what I'm worried about is we're going to get a great Batman and a bad Bruce Wayne, which seems to have been the case in a lot of Batmans. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's hard to find the guy who plays them both.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? Clooney was a good Bruce Wayne, but an awful Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bale was a great Batman, but was an awful Bruce Wayne. So it, you know, the best Bruce Wayne Batman combo, Kevin Conroy, but that's animated, and Adam West.
Yeah.
Because Keaton was unbelievable, was non-believable as a ladies' man in 1989.
Well, I saw an interview on Good Morning America yesterday with Robert Pattinson, and he was explaining, like, they talked about the Bruce Wayne, and he was like, it's hard to get the balance of, you know, this playboy, and which we've seen in every other movie, and I don't think he's going to be a playboy in this one.
Definitely not in this one. I don't think we're getting a lot of Bruce Wayne as the rich billionaire tycoon, you know. Yeah. I think the Bruce Wayne that we're getting is the one who is paranoid. He's vulnerable. He's angry. Like, he doesn't give a shit. It's like when we watched Gotham, right? And you remember that scene when Bruce was going out with those girls and those douchebags, and they went to the club, and the guy was like, everybody yeah. but Bruce Wayne could go in. And then Bruce went to the bouncer and was like, you know, bring your own over here. And then he bought the club. And, like, he kind of went on, like, a dickhead tangent. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're going to get. Like, it's going to be kind of reminiscent when Oliver came back from Lian Yu in Arrow, where he didn't fit in. He was angry. He was trying to hide a secret and trying to keep his life intact. And I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see an unstable billionaire fall apart and trying to wear a mask. Final question. Do you think this sets up a cameo for the Joker, like, at the end?
I don't know. I know he is your main villain. You know what I mean? Like, Joker is one of the top villains in history, in cinematic and literal history, like... You know, he just is. I don't know if we need him yet. Like, we just seen so much of him. We've seen him, you know, recently in Zack Snyder's Justice League with a redone Jared Leto, which was better than what we got from the David Ayer's Suicide Squad. But I don't know if we need it.
Yeah, I hope they don't. I hope that the reveal at the end is the Penguin. Like, give us what they could allude to the Joker, like, already being in Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Or, you know, Bell Rev or wherever they want to take them. But I don't want it like Bruce at the top of the rooftop and thrown at his feet or something in the wind. A Joker card blows and lands on his bat boot. Like, I don't want that. I think that would be too soon. I think if you get the Joker, he needs to be the third one. And you kind of set it up with, like, if they're going two villains per movie, you go Riddler and Cobblepot. Then you go Cobblepot as the main villain. Well, he's getting his own series, so I think Cobblepot moves away. I bring in someone like Mr. Freeze and maybe, I don't know, Hush.
Hush would be cool.
And because he's, like, street gritty, you know what I mean? And that would be cool to see, like, Robert Pattinson and Taylor Lautner fight each other in a movie.
No.
And then, like, third, like, I know, like, the end game is the Joker, but I'd like to see this Batman go up against Bane.
Yeah.
Like, I want Bane to be the end game, and I know we already saw Bane, but I want it to be, like, the real Bane, like, the cartoon level Bane, where he's huge and he breaks the back and, you know, he's not 5'11" and Batman is 6'2" and you have to put Bane on risers. I don't want to see that. But that's just foreshadowing for a movie that we haven't seen yet because it's not out yet. But that's what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the Batman because it may or may not be the biggest movie of the year. Number one on your list, number two on my list, and number one on everyone's heart. But we're going to get back next week talking the Batman. Later down the line, we're going to talk about that bad movie that I watched called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, you and, did see.
I have my thoughts. But follow us on social media, the Active Geek Podcast. Follow Galaxy Wars. We just released our Peacemaker review. Follow KJumaiQ. I'm there every week. You can go find us on YouTube. Chuck's on Instagram, Chuck_TheActiveGeek. And you can follow my new project, which I'm proud to announce has a trailer up. It's called Gym Class. It's a sports show. And it's on Instagram and Twitter under Gym Class Show. So give that a follow and listen to the trailer because I put it up and I haven't told anybody about it. This is the formal announcement. So check that out. We'll be back next week breaking down the Batman. It will not be a 3-hour review, I promise you that. And we'll throw a little spoiler free review in there as well for those who haven't had a chance to see it because, you know, the world's tough out there. But for the Active Geek Podcast, I am Jim.
I am Chuck.
And matters maketh man.